buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's overtime with William Pattison, Dawson Wise, and Jace Brown joining you on a Thursday. It's draft day, only about an hour away from the NFL draft beginning, where we'll it'll start off with Caleb Williams getting his name called, and then we'll go on from there. The chaos will ensue. I'm checking my phone every like 30 seconds, trying to see if there's a trade coming up or any new news.
Me too, because my team picks at four.
Yes,
so.
Yes. My team, the Jaguars, are trying to maybe get in the mix for taking like a Malik Nabers or jumping up in the draft or possibly. And I'd love this, training for Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers. So it's fun to speculate and have all the, the rumors swirling because you get your hopes up and then, it comes time and you have to.
You sound like me talking about the Lakers. I want to get my hopes up to get them broken.
You don't have your hopes up because you just went against them.
I'm a realist. I can't help it.
I'm a realist too, but I don't know if I could take my team losing.
Done it with the Vols.
Let alone as one of my best bets of the night, my team losing. Anyway, we got plenty to cover here in this second hour. Great first hour. We'll continue it here in the second. We'll begin with the NBA. The Celtics lose an embarrassing one last night to the Heat. The Lakers match up with the Nuggets tonight in Game 3. And we'll have In the News with Dawson Wise a little bit later on. But we begin with this. And it's Joshy Boy on the line. What's up, Joshy?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Just ready for this draft.
Yep.
So, cooked up a little same game parlay for the Lakers and Nuggets game. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So on DraftKings, you can do a same game parlay, no game sweat bet. So for mine, I did Nikola Jokic to record a triple double.
Okay.
Took the Nuggets money line.
Oh, Joshy.
D'Angelo Russell, 5+ three-pointers.
Okay.
And LeBron James, over 8.5 assists. And that should round it out to 23-1 odds.
I love those odds. Yeah. Now, there's one leg in there that I don't particularly like. But the Lakers, the Nuggets money line. Do you not think the Lakers get it done tonight or at least, have a fighting chance?
We're getting swept.
See, he's thinking like I am, like both Lakers fans were taking him against it. Maybe we get some, some good mojo coming by some reverse psychology tonight.
Yeah.
I'm just being optimistic in the fact that, I mean, the season's on the line tonight.
Yeah.
If you win, this it kind of shakes up the series a little bit. A series is not over until a home team loses. Lakers have the opportunity to handle business two games in a row, and then we have a series, right? So I know it's not the my best play to say the Lakers win when they haven't beaten this team in the last 10 matchups, but I stay optimistic.
Yeah. So what do you guys think with my Tennessee Titans? Do you think they go Joe Alt?
I don't know if Joe Alt will be there when they pick. I think the Chargers may take Joe Alt at 5.
Well,
who's your backup decision if he goes off the board?
I think he'd go receiver.
Well, the Chargers, if they stay at 5, and I think they will, you're basically taking the lesser of what the Chargers take. So the Chargers will either go Joe Alt or Malik Nabers, and then the Titans will either take, I guess at that point it would be Roma Dunze or Joe Alt if he's not off the board already.
True.
I say Joe Alt, and I know that's not the flashy pick, and I know you didn't like it yesterday, Joshy, but the Titans had a terrible offensive line last year, one of the worst in the NFL. You have to upgrade that position, and you can find plenty of wide receivers in the later rounds.
I'm hearing T. Higgins wants a trade.
T. Higgins does want to trade. I don't know how much money I don't know if the Titans can necessarily afford that with that big contract Calvin Ridley got. In my opinion, the safe pick, the right pick, is Joe Alt, and that's a guy that can protect your quarterback for multiple seasons in a row.
Yeah, I'm hearing really good things about Alt. They're saying he could be the second generational offensive lineman, like he's that good.
Yeah. He's an intriguing prospect. I talked about it yesterday. He started off in high school as a quarterback, moved to tight end, and now is an offensive lineman. So as the timeline moved on, so did his body. He, you know, got bigger and bigger. So he's a very smart guy and understands, you know, how to man an offensive line. I think it's a home run hit.
Right. What do you guys think about this series with Missouri this week in baseball?
I mean, I like the chances. I mean, Missouri, not the best team in the SEC, not the best pitching staff in the SEC. It's a warm weekend in Knoxville, which means the ball is going to carry well. Lindsey Nelson, mm-hmm. you got home cooking for your bats.
Yep.
I like the way it looks, even if you do have to go a bit of a fire drill with the pitching. I think your hitting is going to do plenty to carry you through this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, you get a revenge spot here last year. You know, you opened up SEC play on the road at Missouri last year, and they swept you, made you look like fools. And this year, you know, with the caliber offense you have, they're breaking out the black uniforms tonight, as well as new black helmets tonight. That just released about 3-4 minutes ago. So a new look Vols tonight. They're going to have a little bit of swag under them, and they got something to play for tonight, as well as the rest of this weekend after coming off the huge one against Kentucky. I think they keep the train rolling.
So big pickup today for the Vols, picking up Felix Okupara from Ohio State. So would you say by the end of this week or the starting of next week, the Vols should get a commitment from Chaz Lemire?
Yeah, I would expect it. He entered yesterday with a no contact clause no contact tag on his portal resume. Already got a crystal ball today to go to Tennessee. This has been in the works for a while. About a month ago, you know, Jordan Moore, who's one of our correspondents here, he's been all over this. Yeah, J-Mo's been all over this, Joshy, he's been saying that, you know, Lanier is a guy to watch for, and now it's kind of coming to fruition. I expect him and Milicic to officially commit within the next couple of weeks.
Did Tyson commit to North Carolina yet?
No, he has not, but I think that ship has sailed.
Where do you think he'll end up?
He'll go to UNC. I heard yesterday he's already signed an NIL deal there.
Right. So if the roster, they build the roster up, get Milicic, get Lanier. So what do you think about the roster then?
Well, I think, you know, we were given our grades earlier. I think if you're able to add Milicic and Lanier, then it's an A-plus A year in the portal.
Yeah.
Because you got all your needs, you filled your gaps, you filled your holes, and you added guys that can be dynamic scorers like Chaz Lanier and Darlin Stone-Dubar and Milicic, and you've got your big gaping hole from last year, an imposing presence down low defensively, and that's Okupara. So you checked all your boxes. I think Tennessee is very, very well off for next year.
Yeah, I do too. So with the tournament getting really close to starting for college baseball, are you guys, like, really, really confident? I know we don't have the bracket here yet or the draw, but are you really confident this Tennessee team will get back to Omaha? Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, you as well, Joshy. We appreciate your call. I think you're confident in the fact that you know this team is a lot, I think, a lot better getting on base offensively this year. You still got that firepower in terms of hitting home runs. I think you've seen really good pitching performances over the last couple of weeks as well. But then again, it all comes down to your draw, you know, who the teams you're matching up against. But, you know, if I had to bet, I'd say Tennessee has a decent shot to get back to Omaha.
Offensively, very confident. The bats have been very good, 1-9, and even off the bench as well. Pitching-wise, not yet. I'm not quite to that point where I can say, oh, this rotation, this bullpen, I think the bullpen's been great, don't get me wrong. But I'm not at the point where I can say this staff can get us to a championship. I think if the rotation continues to improve starting this weekend, I think that confidence will continue to go up.
Mm. Yeah, I think this team very well could make it there, like y'all have hit on. That offense it's outpacing the one from 2022. They're able to win in so many different ways. You know, we've seen some low-scoring affairs where they're just battling through a bad night at the plate, and pitching steps up in those moments. But even in, like, Sunday's game against Kentucky, where it's 13-11, you're able to outpace those guys whenever they're on a hot streak. So I think being able to balance that out, despite some of the pitching woes, I think this team is ready for Omaha.
All right, let's head to the association, where there are a couple of key games to talk about. Can the Heat pull off another upset like they did last night? The Heat did the damn thing. Yes, that thing you never expected them to do, but they keep doing it despite very few people outside of South Florida believing they'll do a thing in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler out, unavailable to play. Miami set a team playoff record and rained three after three. 23 total three-pointers made by this Miami Heat team in the 111-101 win last night in Boston over the Celtics to even the series at 1-1. Tyler Hero was brilliant. Bam Adebayo was great on both ends. Miami went full, 15 seed in the NCAA tournament, seeking an upset, and they were able to get it done, chucking 43 of its 75 shots from deep last night. I don't think this is a sustainable way to win, because in game one, they did not shoot the ball particularly well from three, and the Celtics were able to shoot really well from three. And I know that's kind of the law of averages, right? Well, the Celtics aren't always going to shoot like that. Miami's not always going to shoot that poorly. But the Celtics have a better three-point arsenal than the Miami Heat do, and I don't think that's, debatable. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can pull off the upset. I don't think they win another game. But at least they've made this thing interesting. You got to give credit to Eric Spoelstra, a guy that's surprisingly never won an NBA Coach of the Year, I think. I read that yesterday. That might be wrong.
That's mind-blowing.
Is that wrong?
Multi-time NBA champion Eric Spoelstra?
Yeah,
really?
It might be wrong. Fact check me on it real quick. But I read it yesterday. I was like, it feels wrong. But
it does feel wrong.
But I feel like if he was on those Miami teams when LeBron was there, he had to have won it. I don't know. But he's an incredible coach, no doubt about that. So I think what he's done with this group, even without your star and Jimmy Butler, is very admirable. But the Celtics are a much better team. If they're able to shoot the ball like they have all season long, I think they'll be just fine. He's not won it?
Never has.
Never has won it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Which is crazy.
Random NBA stat of the day.
I know. I saw it on Twitter, and sometimes you see this stuff on Twitter, and half the time it's misinformation, a bunch of crap. But that was very surprising. But going back to this matchup, Boston's got the better group. They're able to space the Heat out to where it's so difficult to man them. Kristaps Porzingis was an incredible addition because now they can run five out against Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, space on the perimeter to either take it to the cup or go one-on-one on the perimeter. Jrue Holiday, I thought, was a huge acquisition as well. Gives them a stud point guard that gets it done defensively. This is a really good Celtics group. If they can't get it done against the Miami Heat, then there's going to be a severe reset. And it starts with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think Miami can do this again. More massive credit to them. Even without Jimmy Butler, I thought they were going to be dead in the water without Jimmy Butler. I thought they were going to be dead in the water with Jimmy Butler. They went out and won the game and played their best basketball of the year in the biggest spot and shot really well from three. And now, you give yourself a little bit of an upper hand, if not temporary, because like you said, a series is never in jeopardy till the home team loses. Well, Miami went on the road and won one at the Garden.
Yeah.
Now they have a 1-1 series going back to Miami.
Yeah.
My question is going to be, can they keep this up? I think the answer is no. Without Jimmy, they got to play basically perfect basketball to beat Boston night in, night out. And that's just not sustainable past one or two games. Mm-mm. Maybe they win game three at home. They run out of gas after that, in my opinion. They don't have the consistency or the depth that the Celtics have. It's going to depend on guys like Tyler Hero continuing to shoot the ball well.
Yeah.
And Adebayo holding down the inside. They can at least make this tough, but I don't think they win the series. I don't think they can keep this up.
Yeah, I don't think they get over the hump. Now, I think they're going to compete. I mean, I think maybe they can grab one more. If they can grab one at home, in this little homestand and push it to six games, I think they, can vie for another shot at that. But, like y'all have said, I don't think, having to chuck up 43 threes and crossing your fingers to make 23 of them is a very sustainable way to win. Adebayo, like y'all have said, really, really took Porzingis out of it, and he was an off night from the floor, just 1 of 9. So I really don't think we see a repeat performance on either end of that. Caleb Martin shoots 5 of 6 from three. It feels like it's been forever since we've seen him do something like that, and especially without Jimmy Butler, I don't think they're going to be able to compete for as long as they have. But I think it just goes to show, like y'all have said, Eric Spoelstra just always sort of comes alive in the playoffs. He always gets his guys playoff ready right at the turn of it, and they always find a way to compete. I just think that this Celtics squad that has been good so long this year, I think they're just going to be too much to overcome.
Now, kind of going to the Celtics side of things, this is a team that – has been dominant all year long, but really inconsistent at home. Outside of their, you know, big stretch earlier in the year where they're able to win like 19 in a row at home, a very impressive streak. But they've, in the second half of the season, been inconsistent in their performances. This is a Miami Heat team that is well coached, but they're very slim in terms of their bench. I think it's a concern for Boston to lose a game like this, knowing the stakes of this year. If they don't win an NBA championship, it's kind of a flop of a year, right? So losing to the eighth seed to begin your trek to that achievement is not a good thing. But I think it's concerning. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button. But, you know, you lose another game to this team, then it becomes a real issue. So it's a little bit of a concern, but I think they're able to regroup in game three.
I had the same thing. You know, concerning, yes. Panic time, no. By no means. Still a very talented group.
Yeah.
The more talented of the two teams in this series still. That doesn't change because you lost game two. It was not a good night. Not the end of the world. You're behind the eight ball. But it's not a disaster yet. You know, there's no reason, oh, we're panicking. This series is over. It's one game to one.
Yeah.
You have to go win one in Miami. And then all of a sudden, you even the series again. You still got productive nights from your stars. Tatum had 28. Jaylen Brown, 33. They did their part. They didn't play poorly. As long as those guys keep cooking, this should be a one-night thing for Boston in the series. The issue is the complementary pieces. Jrue Holiday, single digits. Kristaps Porzingis, single digits. When Derek White, no offense to Derek White by any means, but when he's your third leading scorer,
yeah,
there is a problem in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
You did not get a ton of bench help either. Only three players came off the bench for Boston. Peyton Pritchard, 20 minutes, 0 points. Al Horford, 23 minutes, 6 points. And then Hauser, 15 minutes, 6 points. That's not going to cut it in the NBA playoffs. You need more bench production and more complementary help, and I think Boston will be just fine.
Yeah, it is a bit concerning right now, especially against a short-manned Heat team. I think that's something that's a little, you know, iffy, but you're not going to see this inconsistency from your role players nearly as much, especially with how many games are still likely on the plate for the Celtics. And like you were saying, Dawson, your big money guys in Tatum and Brown still had on nights. It was just the contributing pieces were not up to par. I think, you know, the most iffy one was Porzingis. That was just like a really off-kilter night for him, 1-9 from the floor again. Not like you were saying, William, not really a panic button moment yet, but, you know, you really can't have these performances against the rest of that Eastern Conference because, I mean, especially if you're going to run into, you know, not saying that you know, the Cavs magic, but in like the Eastern Conference Finals, if you run into, you know, a Knicks or a Sixers team or maybe even a Bucks team with Giannis back and have some of those off nights with your role guys, especially in that starting lineup, you're going to be neck deep in water and just trying to find yourself. And that's not something that the Celtics team really needs to have at this point in the season.
All right, moving over to the Western Conference, a big game three tonight in Los Angeles. Can the Lakers handle business at home? The Los Angeles Lakers season is on the line tonight against Denver in game three at Crypto.com Arena, at the Crypt, you could say. A 3-0 series deficit would be a death knell. Los Angeles is already facing long odds of a series comeback against the defending champions. Teams with home court advantage that are up 2-0 in a best-of-seven first-round series go on to win 94.7% of the time. But another loss would put the Lakers in even worse company. Teams that are up 3-0 win 100% of the time. So if they lose tonight, the Lakers' season most likely will come to an end sooner rather than later. While the Lakers can be better on both ends, the remaining defensive adjustments are limited. Other than ensuring that Rui Hachimura is not guarding Nikola Jokic,
oh,
I can't believe
boy.
That I have to say that as a 21-year-old who hasn't played a lick of NBA basketball, and that Darvin Ham can look out on the court and say,
oh,
okay, yeah, Rui and Jokic is fine. Mixing up the timing and location of double teams against Jokic, they could do a little bit better job at boxing out on rebounds. But overall, there's a very limited way to find a way to kind of stop this Denver team. Offensively, however, the Lakers have underperformed, especially in the second half of both games one and two, having big leads and losing them due to, as Anthony Davis said, we don't know what we're doing out there, which is another cause for concern for your head coach. Los Angeles shot a league-leading 68.9% within 5 feet of the basket during the regular season. However, they're just 53.8% in these first two matchups, not getting it done on the easy ones. In terms of adjustments, what can the Lakers do tonight? I think first off, they've got to have better lineups. They cannot throw Taron Prince, Jaxson Hayes, and Spencer Dinwiddie out there to begin a fourth quarter in a game two game against a team you haven't beat in the last nine matchups. That was inexcusable. So you've got to have better matchups. I thought they did a better job in game two reacting and reading the screens between Jokic and Murray, but you've got to be able to continue that. And it's reading and icing the screen, not just switching and going under. You've got to ice it. They need to do that again tonight. And the biggest bottom line is the adjustment they need to make. It's not something they can necessarily adjust. It's just having bigger production from Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and your bench. Taron Prince cannot be your sole scorer on the bench with 6 points like he had in game two. Like, yeah, you can get big performances from D'Angelo Russell, Austin, AD, and LeBron James, but if your bench is only giving you 6 points, you know, then you're, you know, tied up. Like, you know, there's nothing else you can do. So they've got to get better bench production. I love what D'Lo did in game two, responded, but you're going to have another performance from him. Can you bank on him doing that again? I don't know.
First thing is you got to get the complementary pieces going. It's no longer an if, you have to. D'Angelo Russell, to his credit, has been a lot better this year than he was last year. Mm-hmm. You got to get guys like Reeves and Hachimura and Gabe Vincent involved if you're going to get back in this series. Basically non-existent so far in this one. If you're going to be the buzzsaw like Denver, you have to have those guys involved. It's not an if you have those guys. You have to have them. Second thing, stay out of foul trouble. The Lakers looked starkly different when AD went to the bench with four fouls.
Yeah.
You've got to keep him on the floor. I don't know how you do that exactly. I don't know if you try to just find a way to keep him out of those situations. You got to keep him on the floor because it went downhill so quickly when he went off the floor with Jokic still out there. You got to keep yourself out of foul trouble in order to hang around tonight as well. And then finally, you kind of mentioned it, get creative down low with some of those double teams on Jokic. The paint play has not been good offensively or defensively for LA in this series. You have to get it going down there. To do that, get creative. You know, do some different things offensively. Open up some cuts. Draw Jokic away from the play.
Yeah.
Defensively, throw some, you know, weird timings at him, weird double teams at him. Just get him off his game. Draw him onto his back foot, and just do something better to be better down low.
Yeah. Number one for me was keep AD on the floor, even if he is in, you know, a little bit of foul trouble. I think there's ways that you can still utilize him on the defensive end where he's effective and not fouling. I mean, with the way he was playing the other night, it looked like he was about to drop a good 45, and then as soon as you take him out in that third quarter, he really doesn't make a peep after that. It really felt like Darvin Ham was I would have really liked to revoke his head coaching license if that was a thing while that spell was going on. That was just not a great look, especially with Jokic putting up 27, 20, and 10. I mean, you really can't let have that happen against that high caliber of a team. Another one like y'all have hit on, let Gabe Vincent get out there a little bit more. You know, Taurean Prince being the only Laker bench player to score at all in these first two games is a little redundant, and you really can't have that at this point in the year, especially when teams like Denver, who are able to go 3, 4, 5 guys deep off the bench and get similar production, you really can't have that happen. You can also throw Vincent, like we talked about already. Gabe Vincent guarded Jamal Murray very well in that finals last year, so I think putting him out there a little bit more could affect the game in that as well. Lastly, this is just a hit piece. Give LeBron the clipboard. You know, with Darvin Ham, it literally just looked like he had words written on there, like in a column, in like a clip where he's just like yelling and mad. Draw up a play or something. Like, just give it to LeBron at this point.
It's from last year, though. It's not because you got Kendrick Nunn. They got Kendrick Nunn on the bench, and I originally thought it was from this year. And I saw Kendrick Nunn, I was like, all right, he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah, but, I fell for that one, but still, yeah. if you've got words on there, not plays.
But I see what you're saying.
The point still stands.
I doubt he's, you know, changed his philosophy.
Oh, definitely not.
Real quick before we head to a break, also. Important to note, no Christian Wood, no Jared Vanderbilt, two guys that were expected to play tonight, they're out, which, you know, already, an already thin backcourt for Los Angeles, or front court, I should say. No Christian Wood, then, you know, Anthony Davis is going to have to play more minutes. Christian Wood is not the defender that Anthony Davis is, but does give you some relief as a tall guy out there. Real quick before we head to break, X factor for the Lakers tonight, it's D'Angelo Russell once again for me. If you get that similar production you got from him in game two, then this thing is going to be a tight game once again. Mm. You need your three stars to be stars. Obviously, the bench and Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura, they're very important. But you were in a neck-and-neck game when D'Angelo Russell played to the level he's been playing all year long. He's got to be the X factor once again.
I'm going to go a little bit deeper on the bench. Gabe Vincent for me on both ends. Offensively, because of what we saw him do last year in the playoffs and because he just – playing has not been involved enough. I mean, why go get him at this point if you're not going to use him for what he should be out there doing? And then defensively, on Jamal Murray, just do it. I mean, it worked last year, at least decent.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and do it. Make the adjustment. For me, it is Gabe Vincent.
I'm going to roll with Rui Hachimura tonight. I mean, he's combined for a total of 10 points in these first two games against the Nuggets. As a starter in such a big series with a team that deep, you can't have that happen from one of your starters, especially like we were saying with Torian Prince only able to give you 6 points off the bench and that's it. I think him being able to step up on the offensive end is going to be huge. He's had some really off nights these last few weeks. I think he's only hit 3 shots across these two games. So you get an uptick from him, maybe a little bit more from Austin Reeves on the offensive end as well. And like you said, keep him off of Nikola Jokic, please. And, you know, the Lakers might have a shot.
All right, that's enough of the association. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL draft within the news with Dawson Wise.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
We make it easy to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, and travel with the CNB Plus Perks account. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Banking at CNB has its perks. Call or stop by a branch for more details.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Looking for a luxury RV getaway? Then come see Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Just imagine a personal oasis on the French Broad River with outstanding amenities just minutes from the Great Smoky Mountains. Enjoy the quiet, private setting on sites offering unexpected beauty and tranquility. Unplug from everyday life and plug in to the serenity of life on the river, big mountain skies, and bucket list sunsets at Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Serenity in the heart of it all. Visit tworiversrvresort.com.
Hey guys, it's Logan Quinton from the 920 Podcast and Fan Run Varsity Spotlight. Yes, it's the Cookie Man, and I'm here to tell you about something sweet. Crumbl Cookies is the fastest growing cookie company in the nation. After only 4 years, 500 plus stores are in operation in 50 states, with many more in build out. Just a reminder to go see the Crumbl crew at Parkside Drive or Clinton Highway. And please, come check out the new location in Maryville, 1765 West Broadway, Suite C.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I get those goosebumps every time. All right, back here on Overtime, about 30 minutes away from the NFL draft beginning. We've had you covered here, and we'll have you covered during the draft as well. Make sure to join us for the Fan Run Radio War Room as we give you in-depth analysis and our reactions to all the picks in the first round tonight. Make sure to tune in on the social media channels. It's going to be streamed on YouTube. Get some cool shots of the scene going on in the lobby next to us. Get some shots from the scene going on in here. Plenty of fun. Make sure to tune in to that. But we head to Dawson within the news with Dawson Wise.
We'll start in college football before we get to the NFL draft talk, as former USC and NFL star Reggie Bush has his Heisman back. The Heisman Trust announced Wednesday the formal reinstatement of the award to Bush as college football continues to endure immense change in the wake of the birth of NIL and the transfer portal. Bush forfeited the trophy back in 2010 after the NCAA hit USC with significant sanctions, including Bush receiving improper benefits during his three-year career with the Trojans. Bush will get back his authentic trophy, USC will receive the replica to put in their trophy case, and Bush will once again be invited to all future Heisman Trophy ceremonies going forward. Bush said, quote, "Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family," he said in a statement to ESPN. "I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization." Michael Comerford, the president of the Heisman Trust, said, quote, "We are thrilled to welcome Reggie Bush back to the Heisman family in recognition of his college accomplishments. We considered the enormous changes in college athletics over the last several years in deciding that now is the right time to reinstate the trophy for Reggie. We are so happy to welcome him back." The decision comes after lobbying from both Bush himself and from former Heisman winners such as Johnny Manziel, USC's Matt Leinart, and Tim Brown. Bush's record-breaking USC career now once again lives in infamy. His legacy is back. That's what I get out of this. It was, I won't say tarnished. You certainly still see the numbers. He still had an incredible college career. Yeah. USC was stripped of the 2004 national championship because of these sanctions. We'll have to see if maybe they re-give them back this championship. I'm not sure how that exactly works. But for me, what this does for Reggie Bush is it just reestablishes what we already knew about him. He was a great college player. Now all the official record books are back to showing that he was a great college player and that he won the Heisman. And the Heisman was legitimate, which it was.
Yeah,
it got taken away. Now that we're in an era of college football where you can do all the things that he was doing legally and more so, to me, it just means, you know what, we're in a new era. And as such, it was time to give him the Heisman back. Very well-timed, very cool ceremony that they did as well. So good for Reggie Bush. Happy to see him get that back. For you guys, what does this do for Reggie Bush and his legacy?
Well, it shows that you don't have to have an armed robbery to get your Heisman Trophy back.
There you go.
You know, a little OJ reference there. I think this is big for Reggie. You know, obviously in the day and age of, you know, NIL and the transfer portal, you know, a lot of that stuff that went on, you know, 10, 15 years ago is now, you know, just nonchalant in this day and age. So I think he definitely deserves it. He's worked hard during his collegiate career, put up the numbers for it, deserves to have it back. And it raises the question, you know, do you think we'll see more and more situations like these where now that, you know, NIL and you know, compensation for players is dominant in college athletics, do we go back in time and say, you know what, you know, we'll give you that championship back, that, you know, whatever it may be back, you know, because now it's okay. So it's just one thing I thought of, you know, because there are a couple of teams that have, you know, had to, you know, relinquish their season because of paying players. Now it's very commonplace. I wonder if this starts a trend.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's about time that it happened, you know, just from that one season, like you said, just such a historic season. A clean Heisman, in my opinion, you know, if you're forced into a situation where, you know, somebody's offering you money to help, you know, provide for your family, who's not going to take it if you're in a vulnerable position like that? So for him to finally be, you know, reacknowledged as one of the all-time greats in college, it's huge. I'm very happy for him. Because, you know, that's such a notch on his legacy that, you know, nobody can take away. I still remember, you know, watching some of these highlights from that USC-Texas national title game from back in like 2006. I mean, those games are, you know, legacy builders. That so much history behind, you know, him and that USC team with Matt Leinart. I think it only just cements him further within that group. I'm glad he's finally able to reunite with, you know, some of these, you know, all-time great college players that, you know, might not have had the biggest careers in the NFL, but, you know, when you look back and talk about it, he had one of the best seasons ever.
All right, we'll move now to the talk about the NFL draft. We'll start with the team who will open the NFL draft. The Chicago Bears are 25 minutes away from making a potentially franchise-altering selection when they go on the clock with the number one pick in the NFL draft. The Bears hold the number one selection for the second year in a row, although not because of their own play on the field. This time, it is the pick formerly held by the Carolina Panthers, who traded the pick to Chicago last year before the draft to move up to number one and select Alabama phenom quarterback Bryce Young. Chicago also received star receiver DJ Moore in that deal. Now, Chicago is in position to draft anyone they want to, although it seems pretty obvious who they will be selecting with that pick. It will likely be USC quarterback Caleb Williams. GM Ryan Poles said the Bears do already know who they will pick, but was not ready to spill any secrets. In a cheeky quote, he said, "Unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed," Poles said during his pre-draft news conference. "We know what we're going to do, but everyone is going to have to wait until Thursday to go there." Mm-hmm. Notably, Williams has already met with the Bears earlier this month. He had dinner with the team. Again, a kind of a weird thing that I haven't seen before during his top 30 visit. Poles emphasized how important it was to get the players involved in the process and trusted that they would give good feedback. He said the feedback he got from the team told him that Williams was intelligent, easy to talk to, down to earth, wants to get to work, and wants to win. All the right things to hear about your potential franchise quarterback. Now the Bears have the final say. This statement was so weird to me. I don't think I've ever heard a GM say something like this. Nonetheless, they're going to pick Williams. I think that's pretty obvious at this point.
Yeah.
So as they get ready to pick Caleb Williams, what does he bring the Bears? And for me, you've kind of covered it already. Big improvisational talent, big-time arm, great clutch player.
Yeah.
You're the kind of guy that can alter your franchise. I mean, they traded away their starting quarterback to make sure they had a chance to draft Caleb Williams in this spot.
Yeah.
A big opportunity for Chicago as they get ready to make this pick. What does this give them? What does this opportunity give them drafting Caleb Williams tonight?
Gives them a future. I mean, Caleb Williams has been the top, quarterback in this class for, 2 to 3 seasons now in anticipation for this night. And it goes back to what we talked about yesterday during that mock draft. It's his ability to go off script. And the great quarterbacks in the NFL can go off script. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, you go down the list. They can make plays off script. Caleb Williams does that to a T. He's got really good vision downfield. He's able to pick apart any defense that was thrown at him. He's mobile, too. Like, he's got the full package. And apparently, going to dinner and all that helped solidify that.
Yeah.
You're reading off those characteristics. Sounded like he was on like a dating app, like easy to talk
easy to. Easy to talk to. He's like, stuck with
long walks on the beach.
It's kind of why I wrote that part down, because it was so weird.
Easy
I've never
to talk
heard that
to.
About a quarterback.
Enjoys dinner. Like, what is it, a dating site? I'm sure he was easy to talk to because he's about to get paid $25 million. I'd talk to the guys about to do that too. So.
Yeah.
I guess they formally can't come out and say who they're going to take, but the cheeky way of being like, "Oh well, you'll just have to wait and see. What are we waiting? JJ McCarthy going to go one?" But going back to what Williams gives him a future and really an ability to win now. I think he's good enough with that roster how it is now with those people. DJ Moore is a big time player. Cole Kmet. You maybe add a Brock Bowers or another wide receiver in this draft. That's a win-now-ready group, and I think Caleb Williams gives him that.
Yeah, I think, like you said, with the guys that he's got around him now, I mean, they just revamped that running back room. They just added Keenan Allen as well. And retaining a guy like DJ Moore that had a really, really nice season alongside Justin Fields last year, I think you mix that with a little bit of an improved offensive line. I think he's a game-changer for you. Like you were saying, William, he's a win-now type of guy. He has all the intangibles you need. He's great in the pocket. He's great outside. He can run. He's a great decision maker. I think it's everything that you need. He won a Heisman for a reason. I think it's really going to translate over for him because, he's not a small guy either. I think he's about 6'1", 6'2". Has an NFL quarterback at least framed to him. So I think you take all of that, you mix it in well with a competent offense, and I think Chicago's ready to roll now.
We'll get to a roundup of the more well-known, well-covered stories in a minute. One that came out this afternoon that I did want to cover because it's a wrench in the entire top 10. One of the teams in the draft tonight is making their first selection in the first round in 8 years, and that is Sean McVay's Los Angeles Rams.
Mm.
Now, as we are just half an hour from the draft being open, it seems as if McVay's group is going to attempt to make a bigger splash than initially anticipated. According to an Athletic report from this afternoon, the Rams are currently trying to work a trade to move into the top 10 selections of tonight's first round. The Rams currently hold pick number 19, so it will not be easy to move up, but it is not impossible to get into the single digits. The Rams hold 11 total picks in this year's draft, tied for the most of any team in the NFL. That means they have plenty of capital to levy in a trade for one of those picks, a blockbuster draft day trade. Four of those picks are in the top 100. They have picks 19, 52, 83, and 99. The Athletic also reports there is a specific player the Rams have in mind and have their sights on, and it is not one of the coveted quarterbacks. The team needs seem to indicate that that would be a defensive tackle, although going up to the single digits, it's worth noting that would likely be for one of the offensive players instead of filling the void that Aaron Donald leaves in retirement. Back on April 16th, NFL Network's Peter Schrager reported the Rams would almost certainly select an offensive player with their first-round selection. If that's the case, it's likely they are targeting one of the big-name receivers or an offensive tackle. A lot of pressure sits on the shoulders of Coach Sean McVay as he stares down the barrel of his first-ever first-round pick as an NFL head coach. This is a tough spot for them to be in because they waited a little bit long to get into this sweepstakes.
Yeah.
They waited until the day of the draft for this report to get out. It's going to be really tough considering there's a ton of teams trying to move into the top 10, not only for quarterbacks, for offensive tackles, for receivers. Can they strike a deal? I think they can. The question would be then, who's going to trade with you?
Yeah.
Do you want to go all the way up to number 4? Do you want to go all the way up to 5 or 6? Can you get one of those guys at 8 or 9 with the Atlanta Falcons, with the Chicago Bears? I don't know. Again, being so close to draft time, it's going to be really tough. Do you want to give up a lot of that capital to potentially get, maybe you get Rome Odunze, maybe you don't, maybe he's not there, maybe Joe Alt's gone. Is it worth it by that point to trade up? I don't know if they're going to be able to make a trade tonight. If they do, obviously, it hasn't come out yet, so it's going to be right on the money. I don't know. Do we think the Rams are going to be able to strike gold tonight and make a trade, or will they stay pat at 19?
Well, I'm trying to figure out why they would move up. So in terms of receivers, like if they're trying to get into the receiver sweepstakes, you got Puka Nacua, who was a big hit in round 5 last year?
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp's not the same guy anymore after that injury, but he's still a very good receiver. I think the DeMarcus Robinson, I think, is their other option. I think they re-signed him. So maybe if you want to upgrade from him, but he was a reliable target last year. I could see offensive line. I think they need more help defensively, though. I think that defensive front, especially losing Aaron Donald, that's a Hall of Fame level player. I'd stick at 19, get your best available edge rusher, and I think that's the better route. I don't think they should trade. And I'm really surprised that we're hearing that they're even interested in that opportunity.
Yeah, if you're jumping up there for a receiver, I think you're a little bit crazy. I know Cooper Kupp, he's been in the league for a minute. You might be looking towards moving away from him fairly soon, but, I don't think, this move right here is worth that. Rome Odunze is such a high-caliber guy, but I'm not sure if you want to trade up, especially like y'all have said, there's a hole right in the middle of your defense that has been there that was, a 10-time Pro Bowl, whatever, however many time all pro at that too. I mean, this dude's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats at this point. So I would be more worried about the defensive front. I don't think you're going to trade up to do that. It really begs the question of, is Sean McVay ready to make, a first round pick?
So now last thing, we're going to just do quick fire, a little bit of NFL draft rumor roundup. The Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz, an NFL insider, did a nice little tweet thread of all the things that he had heard. He's at the draft, he's talked to GMs, talking to insiders, and he started to get a little bit of a roundup as to what he's heard so far as the Chicago Bears inch closer to being on the clock. The most pressing question tonight is which teams are going to trade up, specifically for quarterbacks, to draft either their quarterback of the future or one of the other very talented players set to be selected in the top 12 picks. Here are the teams that he listed as being interested in trading up, most interested in trading up. The New York Giants and the New York Jets. The Minnesota Vikings from pick number 11. The Las Vegas Raiders from pick 13. The Indianapolis Colts from pick 15. The Jacksonville Jaguars, you know that very well. The Buffalo Bills, the Detroit Lions, and the Philadelphia Eagles. All teams that have at least talked about moving up, some more serious than others. The flurry of trades will likely begin to pick up steam with the number 4 selection currently held by the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most wild and chaotic scrambles for top 10 picks in recent memory, with a huge crop of quarterbacks set to be drafted. that's going to be the first storyline on tap tonight, is that trade-up scenario, does it come into play. Next, the Los Angeles Chargers. They're currently slated at number 5, are apparently exploring options to trade back in the first round as of this afternoon, potentially opening up another team's path to a quarterback or to one of the big-name receivers or tackles. As the Harbaugh era begins, the rumor is that the Chargers would rather stack draft capital than make that pick at number 5 to help speed up the rebuild, retool, I guess would probably be the better word, in Los Angeles. Speaking of the tackles, one NFL general manager said that as many as 10 could be selected in tonight's first round. In a draft that has become quarterback heavy, it would be quite the underrated development to see 10 offensive linemen off the board in round number 1. Another team to watch on the trade front is the aforementioned Indianapolis Colts, who may be looking to trade up from the middle of the first round. They've got their sights set on one of those top 3 receivers. The rumor is actually that they prefer Marvin Harrison Jr. That would take a hefty asking price to get from 15 to 4. Or a corner is also on their radar, as well as Brock Bowers out of Georgia. The final team beyond Indianapolis is Denver. We know they want one of the quarterbacks. They've tried to trade up today already, but they seem to lack the draft capital that they need to get up there. They'll have to go into future picks, potentially players. I've heard Patrick Sertan's name thrown around as a potential trade block. It's been an insane day of rumors. We are 15 minutes out from the draft. We're about to see if all these rumors come true or not. The most intriguing, I think, is probably the Indianapolis Colts, because this is kind of another wrench. I didn't see them trying to go up, especially not for Marvin Harrison Jr. I didn't think they were going to be able to get that high. They'd have to give up a lot. I mean, you're talking giving up a guy like Pittman at that point, I would think, to try to get up to number 4. Beyond that, the other intriguing team's going to be Minnesota because of what they have to offer. 2 first-round picks this year, a first-round pick next year is the potential trade package to get up as high as number 4, a very lucrative deal. Right. If somebody strikes it and could really set this whole thing in motion. We're 15 minutes out. You guys have heard all the rumors. You've seen it all over social media today.
Yeah.
What is the most intriguing trade rumor tonight for you?
I think it's the New York Giants. You know, do they decide to move up? I mean, I think the first 3 picks are done. So, I mean, I don't think the Giants are now moving up to get a quarterback, because I think the Patriots are staying pat. So I think the Giants are interesting to see if they move back or try to find a way to get up and possibly snag a quarterback. I think the Vikings are the next most intriguing one. Do they try and move up to go get J.J. McCarthy early on before another team comes and nabs him? I think those 2 storylines are intriguing.
Yeah, I think the main one for me is probably Minnesota, just because, like we were talking about earlier, Sam Darnold isn't really who you want to be throwing to Justin Jefferson. So I think them having, the leverage that they do with all that draft capital, especially up at the top, I think that's going to be an intriguing one to see, especially to see how far up they jump, because, like we were saying, there's a chance that 6 quarterbacks are off the board. Do they want to be a part of the group that takes one of the first 4, or do they just want to hang on and see if they can get, the 5th or 6th option out there? I think the Vikings, in my opinion, probably the most intriguing of the night.
All right, that's in the news with Dawson Wise. When we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of Overtime and get you ready for the Fan Run War Room, the NFL draft hub for Fan Run listeners. We'll see you when we come back from the break.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Are you ready to flash that dazzling smile? Well, look no further than Knoxville Smiles. Our experienced team is here to give you the care and attention you deserve. From routine checkups and cleanings to advanced cosmetic treatments, we've got you covered. Say goodbye to dental worries and hello to a confident, radiant smile. Don't wait any longer. Schedule your appointment today and unlock the power of your smile. Call 865-539-1776 to schedule your appointment today, or just visit KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
At Wholesale Supply, we're more than just a plumbing, electrical, and HVAC supplier. We're your partners in success. Join our family of customers today and experience the benefits of partnering with us. Enjoy free local delivery so you can focus on what you do best, getting the job done. With wholesale pricing, you'll save big on every purchase. Plus, our fast, friendly support team is here to assist you every step of the way. Our vast selection from top manufacturers ensures you'll find everything you need all under one roof. To find a location near you, visit wholesalesupply.us for more. And remember, Wholesale Supply, open to the public.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work and appreciates those who do it? Then it's time to join the movement at Axel Logistics. Axel is looking to expand their award-winning sales team with logistics consultants who are outgoing, ambitious, and thrive in a fast-paced environment. If that sounds like you, visit axellogistics.com to learn more. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Fan Run Radio. Axel Logistics, now is your time.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Thursday, wrapping up a great edition of the show. NFL draft set to, I guess, how would you say, not tip off, but...
be open?
I guess...
Roger Goodell's about to open the NFL draft.
You know, Roger Goodell's on the IR. Did y'all see that?
What?
He had a back surgery.
Well, are they going to be wheeling him out there tonight?
They're not going to wheel him out there to be booed tonight?
Well, he had back surgery or some. He had some surgery not too long ago, about three weeks ago. And he is a game time decision.
Oh no!
To hoist the jerseys and shake hands tonight.
The countdown is on.
Maybe they'll roll him out there. coming up in a couple minutes, make sure to tune in to the Fan Run Radio War Room. Dawson and myself will be on there. Jace will be eating his two wings in a cold one on the way home.
Yep, we'll be doing that. Duty calls.
Actually, he will not be drinking a cold one on the way home. That's illegal.
Before I go home.
Anyway, real quick before we head out, a lot of different teams that we're fans of in here. So who's the number one guy you want to see your name or your team's name called, I guess is the right verbiage for it. Probably one. But we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. They're the first one on the board. We'll go with you.
I said Neighbors for a really long time. I think I'm switching it. I think I want it to be Marvin Harrison Jr. I think the name value does something for me, hearing that name going to Arizona.
Yeah.
The star power, along with – I mean, he is probably the best fundamental wide receiver in this draft. In terms of route running, hands, contested catch, he is your wide receiver one from day one. And he teams up with his college teammate, Paris Johnson Jr. Mm-hmm. in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Jace is a big Bears fan. Jace, yeah. Who are you taking?
Yeah, as a quasi-Bears fan for the night, I'm. You know what? Give me J.J. McCarthy, pick one. I mean, you know, generational guy, 15-0 this last year. I don't care how many times you got to hand it off to Blake Corum. He can throw the ball to D.J. Moore, too. Get it done. Ryan Poles, please.
He keep you on the field in third down situations.
He's a Lakers fan and bet the Nuggets, and now he's a Bears fan and wants his team to collapse with J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, I just love seeing the world
burn. Love that third down efficiency, though.
Third down and 10 or more. Yeah, that is – all right. My team, the Jaguars, I think they could possibly trade up. In the event they trade up, give me Malik Neighbors if you're able to pull it off. If not, I love Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo to help out your secondary. If I had to give you a wide receiver name around 17, I'd probably say Adonai Mitchell. Kind of a gray area recently with his health.
Some of his records might not be coming back. So he's been kind of sliding down a little bit. But I love Adonai Mitchell as well. Xavier Worthy is another one. Kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
But my big fear is, can the Jaguars use Xavier Worthy the right way? And really, I guess any of these guys they draft. But Neighbors would be my top guy. And then if they don't trade the pick, give me Quinyon Mitchell. Mm. That's going to wrap it up here on Overtime. We will see you again tomorrow. We'll have Jordan Moore in studio with us. And enjoy the draft. We'll see you in the Fan Run Radio War Room coming up here in a couple minutes.